It can be found on page 699 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to read along. Listen now to God's word for us. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do no profit. Therefore, once more, I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, be shocked, be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Friends, for the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Gabe, and thank you, Cheryl. This week, our sermon text comes to us from the travel narrative portion of Luke's gospel, chronicling Jesus' final journey from Galilee to Jerusalem and then to the cross. The setting of this stop along the journey is a meal. It's a meal that's more like a society party or a banquet in the home of the leader of the Pharisees. Listen now for God's word to and for us from the 14th chapter of Luke's gospel. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, Jesus told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit in the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, give this person your place. And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, your host may say to you, friend, move up higher, and then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious and loving God, it is good to be in your house. Thank you for calling us here. Thank you for the gift of your word that always has something new to say to each of us and to your church every time it is read and every time it is preached upon. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. For, O God, you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Flannery Connor's short story Revelation, fictional character Ruby Turpin thinks that she has the perfect social stratification of the classes all figured out. According to Ruby, on the bottom of the heap were most black people and white trash. Above them were the homeowners. And then above them were the homeowners and the landowners to which she and her husband Claude belonged. And above them were those who had bigger homes and owned more land. Well, then when she got to that point and started looking around, things started falling apart for Ruby, because she noticed that people with a lot of money, some of them were common, and they ought to be below where she and Claude were. And some of the people who actually had good blood had lost their money, and they had to rent. And then there were black people, one in particular that just stumped her. It was a black dentist in town who had two red Lincolns and a swimming pool and a farm with registered white-faced cattle on it. Well, Ruby isn't the first or the last to be concerned with social position. It seems that she is just as confused as the folks that Luke describes at the dinner that we just read about. In today's passage, we read that Jesus noticed how the guest chose the places of honor. You know, it's just human nature, isn't it? We want to fit in. We want to find our place in the world. We want to be noticed. And often, we don't want just any place, but a place that is at least as good as our neighbors, if not slightly better than our neighbors, don't we? Just as the guests were doing in the parable, we do all kinds of things in life to elevate our positions. Who can forget Henry Higgins' refashioning of flower girl Eliza Doolittle in the movie My Fair Lady, so that she might be accepted in upper English society? And then there's the scene from the movie Pretty Woman, when the lady of the evening, Vivian, played by Julia Roberts, is coached by hotel manager Barry Thompson on the finer points of dining so that she can be prepared for her big date with businessman Edward, who is played by Richard Gere. All of us search in our own ways for places of honor. For some, the vehicle to a place of honor is the Puritan worth ethic. You know, work hard and you will prosper and you will be rewarded and esteemed. Well, sometimes hard work earns us a place of honor, but not always. The writer of Ecclesiastes has this to say about that. What do people get for their hard work? Generations come and go, but nothing really changes. The sun rises, the sun hurries around to rise again. The wind blows from the south to the north, here and there, twisting back and forth, getting nowhere. Well, there's nothing wrong with hard work, but working hard will not guarantee us a place of honor, especially a lasting one. Some of us seek our places of honor through financial security. Even though most of us probably agree with Pearl Bailey, who sang, "I've been poor and I've been rich, and honey, rich is better." Yes, it is good to be financially responsible, but it is also true, as the old saying goes, you cannot take it with you. Wealth is fleeting, as are so many things in life, like youth and beauty and health. And none of us are guaranteed a permanent place in the sun. For some, a place of honor is thought through education, address, social connections, as in today's passage, or for some, Olympic gold. The list is long and endless. and for those who do make it according to our worldly standards, as Andy Warhol, if he was right when he said everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes, what consolation is that? Even though Jesus' message for us in this passage may at first pass just seem like some common sense instructions for getting along and not be embarrassed in a social situation, when we dig deeper, we can see that Jesus is really trying to teach us about how to find a lasting and secure place of honor. But just where is this all-elusive place of honor? Who has it? And how do we find it? And then how do we hold on to it? It's the same question that the disciples wanted to know when they asked Jesus who would be the greatest. Perhaps you remember what Jesus said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be servant of all." It echoes the verse that we read 11 today, which says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This basic principle of trading down shows up again and again and again in the Bible. Jesus wants to teach us how to find our places of honor that are lasting and how to help others find their places of honor too. Not just the rich and the famous, the wealthy, the most intelligent, the most beautiful, the best athletes, but each and every one of us. When our daughters, Emily and Kate, were young little girls, they used to love when we had company and we would invite them over. And one of the things that they would do when we had a sit-down dinner was to create little name cards at everyone's place and arrange the seating for them around the table. Did you know that there's a place card with your name on it at Jesus' banquet table? This is the table where each and every one of us has a seat of honor. And God's banquet table has infinite seating capacity. In today's reading from Luke, Jesus said, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors." I think what Jesus may be teaching us here is that our place cards, when we sit down at that table, of all tables in the fullness of time, may not be next to the people that we might think. Oh, we can choose to invite our friends here on earth, our brothers, our relatives, and even the rich if we want to. God will not stop us. But if we want to be part of the exciting and the lasting work of building the kingdom on earth, it is our job to make everybody, especially those who the world tends to forget, know that they are invited to the banquet too. If we want to help build the kingdom, it's our job sometimes to move over, pull up a chair, and make room for those who have not yet found their place. We are to include those considered to be the least of these. What a guest list. The kingdom of heaven is a party with people that we wouldn't be caught dead with on a Saturday night. God's dinner party includes those who are poor, those who are crippled, those who are lame and diseased, because it's often those people who don't have anywhere else to go. Father Andrew Greeley shares this story from his parish, saying, "Once upon a time, on a Sunday morning not so long ago, there was a family, and they were hurrying to church, but they had parked and they were getting out, and it was an urban church, and they were late because there had been a lot of rain, and it took a long time, and so they were hustling because the woman was a Eucharistic minister in their tradition, and the man had the first reading, and they had two little kids in tow. And they passed by this man who was homeless, and he was selling a newsletter publication that was came out and published bi-weekly, and the proceeds went to help the homeless. And When they passed the man, they looked the other way and they urged their children to hurry on, come on, we've got to get to church, let's go. And when the little girl asked her father, Daddy, why didn't we buy one of those papers from that man? The father says, that's just a ripoff. If those people would just get jobs, we wouldn't have to put up with them in front of our church. They don't belong here, and so we shouldn't encourage them. Or should we? Now, we don't usually have anyone selling papers in the front of our church when we come on Sunday mornings. We're more insulated than that. But what we are blessed with each and every Sunday is usually at least one visitor. And when we include that one in fellowship, we are, in a sense, helping them find their place of honor at God's banquet table. This may mean inviting somebody to worship, or it may mean inviting them to the Wednesday night study or to the Thursday night men's study. It may mean teaching a Sunday school class and helping others to deepen their relationship with Christ. It may be providing a ride for someone who no longer drives or driving the bus. It may mean taking time to befriend a stranger. And sometimes helping others find their place means moving over and letting them have our place as God calls us to different areas of service within the church and the world. God's table, I believe, is a lot more like King Arthur's table than Leonardo's depiction of the Last Supper. Because at the round table, no seats are any more important than any others. And what's more amazing about God's table is that there's always room for one more chair. Who does God love the most? Who gets the best seats in the house? Well, each and every one of us, because God loves each and every one of us as if we were the only one. God invites each and every one of us from all languages and cultures to the great feast, the Lord's Supper. None of us could afford the per plate charge, but don't worry. When the check comes, all we have to do is turn it over and read that our bill has been paid in full. Love, Jesus. You see, our places of honor have been secured for all of eternity through his life, death, and resurrection. So just quit it. Stop chasing after seats of honor that are not real and do not last. And start building God's kingdom on earth, or continuing to build it by helping someone else find their seat at the table of grace. Amen. I think this is me still. In gratitude for the gift, remember, it doesn't matter where you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are and wherever you find yourself, God has sent you there. The Holy Spirit in whom we live and we move and we have our being has something that God wants to do through you. Believe this and go in God's love, protection, joy, and power. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.